To the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and laid down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning for his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just before I share this morning, there was one notice that I forgot because I didn't put it into the system. So the notice I forgot is, if you weren't aware by the blizzard of advertising, next Sunday is Mother's Day. So if you're a mum or a grandmother or a daughter who's got no family and you would like to do something so you don't feel too alone, Valerie is organising a bit of a bring-your-own-lunch to share for mums and grandmothers and daughters who are just feeling a little bit out on the day. So they're going to have some lunch together after the service. So Valerie, could you stand up and wave your arms or something? Look for Valerie. Wave your arms. That's it. Or wave one arm anyway. So just catch up with Valerie after the service. She'll be able to fill you in on a bit more details. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would open us now to the work of your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand your word so that we might live a risen life with you. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Well, this morning's reading from 1 Samuel might just seem to be the story of a young man. He's probably actually a boy, so he's probably not even 12. So he's pretty young. Notice, like, the Bible talks about him as being a boy, not as a man. So a Jewish boy became a man at around 12, 13 years of age. He's described as a boy, so he's a young kid. So this reading is might just seem like the story of God calling somebody in the middle of the night to serve as a prophet. But my belief is that there's much more to this story than meets the eye, or more accurately, the ear, because there's a lot of hearing going on in this story. The events in this reading take place, I'll give you a bit of the background. It's taking place in a really dark time in Israel's history. So the Israelites, if you know your Old Testament, have been freed from Egypt. They've come out of slavery into Egypt. Moses has led them around the desert. Joshua leads them into the promised land. Moses is dead. Joshua is dead. And now the Israelites have begun to disobey God. So they get up to no good. They forget the God who led them into freedom. They do their own thing. And they're captured and taken into slavery. And what happens is that they then complain. God, where are you? Why aren't you looking after us? God raises up a judge to look after them and to rescue them. And that's what the book of Judges is about. So just before you get to Samuel in the Old Testament is the book of Judges. And the Judges is the story of God going with the people of Israel through this cycle. The Israelites follow God, and then the judge dies, then the people of Israel disobey God, and then they're conquered by one of the neighbouring tribes, and then they call out to God, say, God, rescue us. And God sends another judge, and he rescues them, and the people of God obey, and then the judge dies, and then the people of God disobey God again. They get into trouble, they get invaded by one of the neighbouring countries, they cry out to God, sends a judge. You know how the story goes. It just goes on and on and on. In fact, the best description I've ever read of the people of Israel in the Old Testament this time comes in the book of Judges. And it goes like this. They did what was right in their own eyes. Isn't it a great description of people who make a roadmap and a moral compass for their lives based on what I think is right? It's very similar in many ways to what a lot of people think today. I will do what is right in my own eyes. I don't care about anyone or anything else. God doesn't exist. Nothing's going to go wrong. We all know where that ends up, don't we? So this is where the people of Israel are at this point of time in their history. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Israel is again at that low point. The Philistines are on the borders. Now, we all know about the Philistines because we know the story of David and Goliath. Huh? The Philistines are one of the traditional bad guys who always fight the people of Israel. So they're on the borders, rattling their spears or their shields or their sabres. I don't know what they rattle, but they're making a lot of noise. They're scaring the people of Israel. They're getting worried. Also, at the same time, their spiritual life is at a really low ebb. Huh? So that's the context that we put ourselves in when we get to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Israelites are not really that interested in listening for God's voice. Because remember, they disobey God, they stop listening to God, they go their own way, there's a nation that gets ready to invade them or does invade them, takes them off into slavery, and then they go, oh, we've forgotten about God. Well, at this point, they haven't even thought about God because they've got the enemies waiting on the border to invade. And so God, from their point of view, doesn't exist. They're not even interested in obeying God. They're not interested in living as his people. They only cry out to him when there's a crisis. So that's why verse 1 says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Okay? They've chosen to abandon God. And God stops communicating with them. I don't know if you've had small children, but if you've got small children, one of the temper tantrum efforts is they stick their fingers in their ear and stick their tongue out and go, I'm not listening. All right? That's the people of Israel at this point in time. I'm not listening. No wonder they can't hear God speak. If they're like one of the three wise monkeys, they've also got their fingers over their eyes at the same time. I can't see any visions. God is unable to communicate with them because they're not willing to listen and they're not willing to see. So God closes their eyes. He stops speaking to them. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There's no scriptures for them. There's no Bibles for them. They depend on hearing from God for God to be able to communicate with them. If God stops speaking, what do? They all do what was right in their own eyes. So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're introduced to Samuel and Eli. If you want to know more about Samuel, read the early chapters of 1 Samuel. Samuel is the son of someone called Hannah. Hannah is a childless woman. She cannot have children. So she goes to the temple at Shiloh, which is where this takes place, and she's praying in the temple. It's a mark of how spiritually disgraceful what's going on is happening in Israel, because when she's there, Eli, the priest, says, "Go away, you drunk woman." She's kneeling in prayer, and Eli comes up and says, "You're drunk, get out of here." If you don't believe me, have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. That's what it says. All right. Hannah says, "I want to pray. I would love a child. I don't want a child to carry on my family name. I want a child to serve God." That's her prayer. It's a great prayer for parents to pray. "I want a child to serve God. I want a child to give back to God, to be God's." So she prays, and she's given a son. The son is called Samuel. And then Samuel grows up, he's weaned, he's able to walk and talk, and then Hannah takes him off to Shiloh, hands him over to Eli, the high priest, and says, "I want you to raise him. I prayed, God gave me this gift, now I'm giving him back to you to grow as your child." By the way, did you notice in verses 1 to 3 how many references there are to sight and light and insight? There's not many visions. Eli's eyes are becoming weak. He can barely see. The lamp of the Lord has not yet gone out. It just shows how spiritually dark and difficult these times are. But God's at work. In these difficult times when we think, "Oh, well, where's God in all this?" God is there at work. How do we know that? Because verse 3 tells us about a little boy named Samuel who sleeps in the innermost part of the temple. Samuel doesn't have a bedroom off in the priest's quarters. He sleeps in the temple, and he sleeps right next to the Ark of the Covenant. He sleeps right next to the place where the people of Israel believe this is where God shows up. This is where God hears our cries. This is where God shows us his light. That's where he sleeps. Eli, the priest who's going blind, who's not able to listen to God, who thinks Samuel's mother's a bit of a drunk, he's off in bed, in the house somewhere. Samuel is sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant. It's a real contrast there, isn't it? Samuel is expecting or open to God at work. And then in verse 4 we read, God begins to speak to Samuel. Lord calls, "Samuel." And this comes 4 times. And initially Samuel has absolutely no idea about what's going on. He's never heard God speak to him. He's had no one in his mentoring role to be able to say, "This is what God does. This is how God reveals himself. This is how God shows up." He hasn't got anyone who can tell him this. So he's asleep in the middle of the night. Anyone asleep last night and get woken by thunder? I did. All right? It's like that. Okay, you're asleep in the middle of the night. Bang! Samuel. Not quite being like that. I'm not very good at doing God voices, but you get the idea. Samuel is asleep. "Samuel!" Eli must want me. Races off. 3 times he does this. And the 3rd time, Eli works out what's going on. The 3rd time, Eli says, "I reckon it's God calling you. If he says it again, this is what you do." And so verse 7 is a real key to understanding what's happening. Have a look at verse 7. "Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Okay? We're told at the start, Eli, Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. He'd never heard God speak. He couldn't recognise what God sounded like. He had no idea that this voice he was hearing was God. He was open to hearing God, but he didn't recognise who it was that was calling. And we know that because the end of verse 7 says, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Samuel needed someone to say to him, this is what God says. This is the way you can tell it's God speaking. This is how you can hear a voice. This is how you can understand a call and hear God at work in your life. We all need people like that in our lives. We all need people to help us hear God speak to us. But first of all, we need to be like Samuel. We need to be ready to hear it. So we need to be sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant, figuratively. We need to be open to being woken up in the middle of the night, figuratively, by God speaking. And we need someone to say, this is God's word for you. I'll come back to that a bit later. In verses 10 to 18, we see a true prophet at work. If you want to know what a prophet does, have a look at verses 10 to 18. Verses 10 to 14, God gives Samuel the words. God says to Samuel, here is my word for you. And then in verse 17, Eli, in the morning, says, so, what did God say? We actually didn't quite say it like that. This is what Eli says. What was it that God told you? Don't hide it from me. May God do to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. Remember, Samuel is not yet even 12. His mentor is saying, now, tell me what God said. Well, Eli, it's like this. You've committed these really bad sins. God's not going to forgive you. Your house is going to be destroyed. It's a great message for a 12-year-old to have to give you to his mentor, isn't it? But actually, that's what a prophet does. A prophet speaks the truth in love, not with pride, not with, I've got a great message for you. He just speaks this word gently but powerfully, and he speaks the whole truth. And in verse 18, Eli models a really good way to hear God's word, even if we don't like it. It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Eli recognises that he's under judgment. He recognises that God's speaking through Samuel. And he says, I don't like this message, but I'm going to have to accept it because it's from God. Sometimes God gives people tough jobs to do. I mean, I think Jocelyn's job is really hard to do. She's got this amazing tightrope to walk in the school, and she's not allowed to talk about God, but she can if she's wise and careful, as long as she doesn't fall off the tightrope, and as long as she speaks carefully and asks leading questions. Well, that's a tough call. And God gives us sometimes really tough calls when he gives us a message to share with others. This story, I think, raises some important things for us to reflect on. And the first is this, that God's word, God's call, God's voice doesn't always come when we're expecting it. And it's not always what we want to do. I don't think Samuel was expecting to be woken up in the middle of the night by God's voice calling him. I mean, no one here, I don't think, likes being woken up in the middle of the night by thunder. And especially if you've got young children and they get woken up, but that's a bit more complicated. All right? If you haven't got any young children, you can sympathise for the time when you did have young children, or you know someone who does have young children and they're petrified of the thunder. Or they're like the dog and the cat, they're under the bed somewhere and won't come out. Samuel gets woken up in the middle of the night, and then he gets this really tough message. And I'm sure Samuel found it really hard to give that message to Eli. This is the person who's training him up. This is the person who's mentoring him. And God says, this is the truth. This is what we've got to do. This is the message. Sometimes we can sort of step back a bit and get overwhelmed by our circumstances. And then when we do that, we start to block off our ears to what God's doing. Sometimes it's when in the midst of really difficult times that we hear God speak to us and give us a way forward, a direction forward. Second thing I want to think about is the way God's word brings transformation. God's word changes people and it changes situations. We started our reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3 by working out that God's word was rare. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. We finish in verse 18 with God's word being spoken. And Samuel having a vision for the future. Think God has transformed this little 10, 12-year-old boy, has come to him, God has revealed himself to Samuel, and Samuel is a changed person. He's now open to the word of, he's now open to being God's person in the world. He's now open to change. And Samuel being changed means that he starts to change the world around him. He speaks truth in a place of darkness. He brings hope for the future. So God's word is no longer absent. Where God's word is spoken, where God's word is preached, where God's word is proclaimed, that's where people's lives are changed. When we stop reading the scriptures, when we stop praying, when we stop worshipping, then we don't hear God speak to us. We choose to abandon God. We choose to walk away. Third thing I wanted to reflect on was that Samuel teaches us how we should respond to God's word. I've already touched on this a bit earlier, but Samuel is attentive. He is open to God. That's why he wakes up in the middle of the night. Samuel's relationship with God is such that when he hears his name being called, he's awake. He just is saying, oh, I think I'll get back to sleep again. It's just a bad dream. It's just a nightmare. He's awake. He's alert. He's ready to do something. And I think it's a reminder to us that we should be like Samuel. We should be willing to hear God speak to us. How many people come to worship on Sunday morning thinking, God is going to speak today? I'm going to hear God speak through the scriptures. I'm going to hear God speak to me through the worship music. I'm going to hear God speak to me through the prayers. I'm going to hear God speak to me through somebody else. That's the sort of thing we should be thinking about. That's why Sunday worship is so fantastic. It's not optional. Oh, it is optional, but like it's not a good thing to be optional about. How many of us go to a small group thinking, oh, beauty, tonight I'm going to read the scriptures. Or this afternoon, or this morning, I'm going to open the Bible with someone. Isn't that fantastic? God will speak. And we'll pray together and we'll hear from each other. This is fantastic. Or do we think, oh, Connect Group tonight. Oh, it's a really good show on telly. This is the first episode of The Chaser, election special. Oh, look, I really need to watch that, because that'll give me a much better insight into the world around me. There's a record button for the TV. There's iView. But there's not small group on another night. How many people read the Bible each day and think, oh, I wonder what God's going to show me today? And if you sense that God's speaking to you and he's calling you, then maybe we should be like Samuel, who goes to Eli and says, I don't understand what's going on. Can you help me? How many of us have people in our lives that we can say, I think God's saying something to me. I'm not sure if God's speaking to me about this. What do you reckon? Because that's the challenge of these verses leave us. They make us think about who is God? What's God's word? How does it reveal to us? Are we open to God speaking to us? So this morning, I want you to think about Samuel, because if Samuel wasn't obedient, he wouldn't have consecrated David as king of Israel. Right? And David's line ends up with Jesus the Messiah. So Samuel's obedience way back here, listening to God's call, hearing God speak to him, I mean, has unimaginable consequences for Samuel that he couldn't have even foreseen. So the challenge for us is, if do we hear God speak to us? And if I do, am I going to obey him? Because we might be another Samuel. It'll have consequences way down the line, hundreds of years later, that we mightn't even know about. Let's pray. God, we pray that we might be open to hear your voice this morning. We pray that you'd be eager to hear what you say through the scriptures, to hear you speak to us in our songs, to hear you speak to us in our time of prayer. Father, pray that you'd help us to be willing to hear these words and to obey them. And help us to hear your voice in the midst of the voices all around us, so we don't get confused, but we respond only to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.